Chapter 18, It's Greek to Me by Willie Snow Etheridge. 18, Ambrose, formerly of New York, has the answers. Monsieur Ambrose runs his hand through my hair. It's all right, I'm getting ready for a permanent. He pulls a few strands at a time from my scalp and shakes his big head. Très triste, he says with tears in his voice. Très, très triste. I'm not surprised. I know it is sad, very, very sad. Every hairdresser who has ever touched it has said the same thing, but none with so much dramatic feeling as Monsieur Ambrose. It is the Greek in him, no doubt, for though he refers to himself as Monsieur Ambrose and speaks French volubly, he was born and bred in Greece. Gesturing with his ham-like hands, bare to the elbow, he summons a woman assistant to observe this tragedy with him. Ah, she too thinks it is terrible. She speaks in Greek, which I don't understand, of course, but I can translate from the pained look on her face. Monsieur Ambrose also now speaks Greek. Excitedly, heatedly, they wail above my head. I can feel what they are saying. Too thin, too gray, too dank, too limp, too unhealthy, too awful. Why do these Americans let their hair go so? I want to answer that I didn't let it go. It has always been gone, but they afford me no opportunity. Finally, having exhausted the subject, Monsieur Ambrose waves the assistant away and moves in front of me for an operator-to-customer chat. I make the permanent, okay? He says and chuckles deep and long. The sadness has magically gone from his swarthy, wide face. It is now full of good humor. That's my perfection, to make the curl. I make a one curl. I make a another curl. All day I make a de curl. Good, I say, and he gets down to business. He calls the young woman to shampoo me, and then, patting my shoulder and murmuring, I will be back, I be back, departs for another section of the shop. It is a fairly large, up-to-date shop, and it is filled to capacity with Greek women having their hair curled, bleached, and dyed, just as women in the United States do. But I do believe, for its population, Athens has more women with hair dyed brassy blonde and copper red than New York. When Monsieur Ambrose returns, he brings the assistant, and they each take a side of my hair to roll up on the waving rods. The assistant is quiet, as she speaks no English, but Monsieur Ambrose talks and chuckles continuously, and he, of course, talks politics. Greece is in a quandary, he begins, as casually as a hairdresser in Louisville would comment on the weather, and though to me it seems no laughing matter, he laughs delightedly. Greece always in quandary. Very, very seldom is it quiet here. I tell him I can believe it, and he chuckles, and his chuckles burst over me. Ah, that is good. As you will see, the more you come here, the less you know. It is my turn to chuckle. And now the communists make the bad times, he says calmly. But who's to blame them? Normally, people suffer much here. The country is very poverty. Have you been in villages? Villages suffer more so. And he shrugs his great shoulders. More communists in villages. Communists promise they make paradise here. Paradise. His laughter booms, but this time there is no merriment in it. You know what make the poverty? Too many people here. After last war, 1.5 million people come from Turkey, and we take them in, but we have no room. He knocks off rolling curls and stands in front of me, his hands on his hips. Greeks used to go all over. They like a travel. His black eyes twinkle and his chuckles tumble. But the United States stopped immigration in 1920. Now, 27 years, Greeks go nowhere. But if tomorrow papers say anybody can go to Australia, United States, Canada, the Greeks go, and they send money back to families, and these troubles here is finished. Then you think immigration is the answer to Greeks' problem. Naturally, he answers promptly. Most Greeks work hard when there is a chance. They go to America, they wash the dishes, push push carts, sell the peanuts, make a restaurant. Ah. His face breaks into a broad smile. Once upon a time, I go to United States. I work hard, I save, I support my family, make a much money. He spreads his hands in a gesture of opulence. I put money in bank, and then I have a business of my own. His laughter resounds over the entire room. This business was too absurd to be true, the laughter seems to say. But no, he goes into details. I have 19 people work for me. I have place in Savoy Plaza. Do you know Savoy Plaza in New York City? Only by reputation, I say. He explodes with merriment. He was sure all along that the Savoy Plaza was beyond my range. A customer interrupts him to ask his advice about her hair, and I never find out why he left New York, for when he resumes the conversation, he is back on the subject of immigration. Poverty make everything here. All this people try hard to work, but no work. Give permission to greet, they go to United States. He sell house, he sell donkey, he sell everything he have and go. There are the chuckles again. And how he send money back. Greeks all time send money back to their families. It is Greece's best hope of income. Here we have no land. Australia have so many lands. Canada, America. The other day, 20 persons steal on boat to go to United States, but after 2 days, they are captured and sent back. He shakes his head and returns to rolling hair. Small cups of Turkish coffee are being passed around the shop. Would you like coffee? Monsieur Ambrose asks as if we were at a party. I have a cup, and he beams out loud. It's good, is it not? Eleni Angelopoulou drops by for a chat. She introduces me to several people in the shop. I have no desire to meet people when my hair is drawn new shoe tight into permanent wave curlers, but what can I do? A big blonde waiting for a manicure pulls up a chair close to my knee and confides, "We Greeks are people who must not die. For the rest of the world, we must not die. Every 100 years, we give something. We give an example for the rest of the world." I try to nod sympathetically, but the curlers are now attached to the machine and I cannot move my head. "We are such a small country," she rushes on. "And when you have a big soul, you don't need to have a big country. When you think what Greece did against Italians," she rolls her eyes heavenward. "We went against that huge country of Italy. We showed to the world that we have something. We said to Italy, no. To Germany, no. Twice we said, no." Eleni is impatient with this talk. She thinks it is time Greece stopped resting on her past glories. Abruptly, she blurts out, "I make the prayer that we end thinking about war and have the peace." The woman is, quote-unquote, offensed. She walks away, and Penny arrives and takes her chair. Eleni saunters about, speaking to people. A young girl across the room points to the curls piled high on top of her head and asks me, "Like it? It is nice, isn't it?" I am bewildered. Never have I had such a confusing permanent. At a junior prom, I couldn't converse with more people. The heat has now been on long enough. The assistant snaps it off, blowtorch, takes down the curls, and rinses and dries them. Monsieur Ambrose, who has been looking after other customers, returns and tests one curl with his fingers. "Intoxié?" I ask him. He roars appreciatively of my one effort at Greek and answers, "Intoxié." "It looks a little tight to me," I suggest tentatively. "Want to make it twice as much loose?" he asks, whooping with hilarity. "I make a curl. I make a straight." I shake my head. I figure I had better let well enough alone. He begins to set it and, as he has never been interrupted, continues to talk. About Greece's dilemma. "The government here never cares what the people need, and that's what makes them communists. The people don't eat. They don't have clothes, houses, nothing nice. Just the rich and tourists have it nice. There are about 500 rich people in Athens. Everybody else, poverty. The communists tell them, if Russia come here, they have good times, and that's why poor boys go into hills and kill everybody. Monsieur Ambrose is wanted on the telephone. Chuckling as if there is nothing funnier than a telephone call, he hurries off. On his return, he jumps, without preliminaries, into a fresh phrase. Everybody in Greece wants to work for the government. There are now 200,000 people working for the government. It's an outrage. Does New York State have 200,000 civil servants? Here, every time man elected to office, he brings 25 or 30 nephews and uncles to work for the government. Naturally, the government has no money to pay so many people. So it pays salaries nobody can live on. It pays 300,000 drachma a month, about $60 in American money. Now how they pay rent, how they buy food, how they buy clothes. That's why it's impossible for them to live, but they must live, so they become dishonest. They take a bribes, they take a gifts. That's what make of the government corrupt. I say it would make a more sense to have a little people working for government and pay them well. My hair is finished and I get up to leave. Monsieur Ambrose, Penny, Eleni, the blonde woman, and several other people crowd about me. I can tell them I might not see them again, for I am leaving soon to join the roommate in Salonika and go with a commission to Bulgaria. My God, cries Eleni, clasping her arms across her chest and shivering as with fright, I would hate to be in your stockings. I begin to shake hands. At one moment, says Monsieur Ambrose, I make a present. He hurries off and returns with a jar of his own brand of cold cream, concocted, he tells me proudly, from Greece's beeswax and oil. Many of his old patrons in New York order it regularly. Make a skin soft like silk in 2 days, he promises. Whether it will make my skin soft, I doubt, for it has been leathery and wrinkled for years. But it make my heart soft. I am deeply, deeply touched by this gift-giving habit of the Greeks. End of chapter 18.